Operator? Spare me for a second.
The recordings have been started.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Nicola. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. On today's call, we have Ray Fassett, Wolf Ulrich Knobben, Ron Androff, and from staff we have Julie Headland, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White, and apologies, Tony Holmes. Thank you. Over to you, Ray.
Thank you very much, everybody, for joining the meeting today and accommodating the slight change in schedule, 1 hour ahead of time than usual. I think today's agenda has been fairly well clear-cut. We're focusing really on the rules of procedure, and then and as part of last call we had, we identified sections to dive into first, and then sections to that are perhaps a little bit more involved to discuss later. So in today's meeting, we've decided to hone in on sections 4.2, 4.3, 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, 5.5, 5.6, and 5.7. Has everybody had a chance to review those?
Yes, Ray, I did. And I sent also my comments, comments to you. I hope you received that.
Yes.
And but at first, I would have a first question, Ray. That is regarding the sections which we are not going to address in the operations procedures here. So the question for me is, for example, dealing with voting and something. So the question for me is, who is going to deal with those chapters?
Oh, let me offer a clarification. Do you mean the sections that are covered by the ICANN bylaws, or do you mean the sections that we are choosing to cover later? Which one?
It's both, you know, because there are some sections, or used to be in the bylaws, some sections which are supposed, as I understand, the last bylaw amendments, which are for public comment at the time being. And there are some proposals about to remove some sections to the council operating procedures. That's the one thing. So and then we have in the document which Julie provided to us, we have some articles, so some sections. For example, the GNSO council sections and something which is dealing with voting and so, and which we should not deal with, so I understood. So the question for me is, who is going to deal with those sections?
Can you give me a specific section in mind that you have, that you're looking at?
Things which are dealing with...
You mean like section 4.1? What specific one?
Anything which is dealing with what, let me just ask this, for example.
Well, I think, Wolf, you're saying, like, for example, number one, description and organization, it says CICAN bylaws. Number two,
yes.
Generic name, so organization, it says CICAN bylaws. You're referring to that, are you not?
Yes, and things, for example, dealing with voting, yeah? So we have, there are different chapters dealing with voting, and some are in the bylaws, some are supposed to be removed from the bylaws to the operating procedures. So this is for me not very, very much clear.
This is Julie. Perhaps I could help with a little bit of explanation, since Wolf Ulrich, you did not have the benefit of being on last week's call, where I did give a fairly extensive explanation of this document and where it stands at this point. That would be helpful.
Yes, Julie, please go ahead.
Yeah.
This document reflects the bylaws proposals as they stand right now and as they've been put out for public comment, and these have been extensively reviewed. And so I think the sense is that that there would be relatively minor changes, if any, after the public comment process, and these would be presented for approval, which is why I had not previously sent around the document. You know, while there was still a lot of discussion on the bylaws, I hadn't sent around the document to include bylaws changes because they were still in flux. But now they are very close to being completed. And so as I went through the bylaws and the procedures document, I pulled in those references to the bylaws that where basically material is now not going to be included in the procedures and instead will be addressed in the bylaws. And so in this document, this reflects the current standing, which is very likely to be approved. For example, I sent around to all of you, and this was a very good suggestion from Wolf Ulrich, to send around the GNSO Council restructure implementation timeline that staff had provided to the Council on August 10th. And if you look at that timeline, the activity for the bylaws amendment is that they are out for public comment. That public comment period closes on the 24th of August, and it is expected that there will be a board action for approval of those bylaws amendments on the 27th of August, so really quite soon. And so I anticipate that the bylaws as they stand and as they are reflected in the procedures document are what they will be. So that gets to Wolf Ulrich's second question, and that is to the extent that things are not in the bylaws and are in the GNSO Council procedures, that is reflected in this current document that we are referring to for our changes now. So if it is in this document at this time, you know, and if it's there and if it's something that we need to deal with on this work team, it's in yellow in the current document that I have sent around. If it is not in yellow, then it is not something that we need to do with. Now, I think that some of the sections where Wolf Ulrich has commented are not showing up as yellow in this document, as I see. I'm looking at Wolf Ulrich's version. But those sections that are not highlighted in yellow are sections that this work team does not have to deal with. And it's recognized that the procedures will be changes to the procedures will be happening sequentially, and that we will recommend the changes that we must do in this work team that are necessary in order to seat the council in Seoul. But the PDP work team and the work group work team also are will be making recommendations for changes to what is currently Annex A in the bylaws. Until those changes are complete, the procedure document will continue to refer to the bylaws and to Annex A. And that's really just for reference to this group. But the point is that the procedures, in a way, are an evolving document. They will not be necessarily a final document at the time that the council is seated in Seoul, but they will contain the necessary information in order that the GNSO Council in Seoul will be able to conduct their work, and that is that they will be able to elect a council chair, elect a vice chair. They will be able to vote on routine non-policy development process business. And they will be able to know what to do as far as taking minutes and you know, conducting the meeting in general. And those are all of the things that this work team is supposed to be addressing in the exercise we're engaging in here in August.
Yeah, I mostly agree with that as the chair. I mostly agree with everything that Julie just said. And from a blocking and tackling standpoint, just updating the document in a manner that reflects the new bicameral structure, for example. The only thing I might massage a little bit in there is it's that it's not that our work team is not to be concerned with or care about. It's that there are different venues of discussion going on as it pertains to this document. So those that reflect ICANN bylaws, there's a venue there, a public comment process that any one of us can participate in that venue. And then there's, as Julie mentioned, there's a PDP work team that, and those sections are in their venue. And then there are sections then that have been identified that are within our venue, and where we then look at those sections and say, okay, what is needed here in order to be able to seat this council so that they can function as part of the meeting in October. Does that provide some clarity, Wolf?
Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you very much. May I add just briefly? So I think, so for example, if you look at the document, the bylaw revision document, which is at the time being on public comment.
Right.
So you will identify that there are some sections and paragraphs which are have a footnote, and it says paragraph 8, for example, is recommended for removal from the bylaws to and relocated to council operating rules and procedures. So that means that we have to deal with it. Is that right?
Wolf, let me pull up that section. Which section is that? And I'll look in the bylaws just to make
that's
sure.
That's paragraph, that's section 10. You mean the chapter X, chapter 10. And under, which one is that? Let's put it up here. Section 3, GNSO Council, number 8. 8 and 9. Both.
Okay.
Eight
and nine. And let me just check to see what I have here.
That is the note.
Okay. Hang on. And I'm going to look at that exact section. I'm going to pull up that section in the bylaws because I had hoped that I reflected everything that should be where it should be. But if I haven't, that's a very good point. So. Let me look at that. That might take me a few minutes. So
there's some sub paragraphs for number 8, 8A until 8F, and there's some number 9 is dealing with observers and these things.
Okay, so if I understand the point correctly, there are some mentioned in the bylaws revisions that there are areas for the work team to
Let me check that while and
yeah.
I
it's a fair
it's going to take
a
me a
point.
Few minutes because I need to I need to be looking at the bylaws to see because I thought I went through them thoroughly, so I need to understand what.
Well, you have gone through them
thoroughly,
Julie.
Oh, I know, but I was going to pull up this section that Wolf is looking at, but I don't want to hold up this discussion. What I might suggest is if you want to start with the sections that have been identified as, you know, some of the ones that Ray.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah. We can dive right in while you're doing that.
Let me look at this on the side while you're doing that. I just don't want to hold things up.
Yeah, and I agree. It's an excellent point, and don't hesitate to raise those kind of points in email format as well. You know, that's an excellent point, Wolf. I'm glad you brought it up. But let's, with that said, why don't we as a work team go ahead with our suggested starting point here of going through these sections and just getting a sense amongst ourselves whether there are needs for changes. And I guess we're starting with section 4.2. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Okay. Now I'm going to throw out my perspective. I just do not see material changes in any of these sections that have been identified for today.
I agree with that. However, I would accept Wolf Ulrich's contributions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that those contributions also just add some clarity.
Yes.
But as far as everything that's been previously written, I agree, and I agree also with Wolf Ulrich's things. There are a couple of things where Wolf's put a note in, supporting organizations, task force, but perhaps we can just clarify those.
Well, let me just clarify. Wolf speaking. So are you talking about all the chapters in yellow right now?
Well, right now, we could take them one by one. It's a matter of choice.
Well, I have only made it. My first comment was, or question was, in chapter 5.2, the question about notice of meetings, for example.
Okay, so So I'm seeing some different color here.
It's in green. So my question was about, you know, if you read the second paragraph of that, reports and declarations should be submitted to the chair for inclusion on the agenda no later than 14 days. And then the next one is all reports or proposed declarations relating agenda items must be distributed to the genus or council members 14 days before the meeting. So is it practicable? Because to submit it to the chair is 14 days in advance, and at the same time it should be distributed to the genus or council members, or is it seriously to be done? So that's not clear for me. Because does the genus or chair has any right to do something with the submissions? So what does it mean? You know, 14 days are 14 days. So you know what I mean? So I understand, is there a reason why it is called 2 times 14 days here, or does it mean it should be submitted at the same time to the chair as well as to the council, or is the chair the one who is going to submit it to the council, and it could not be for 14 days, you know what I mean?
Well, if this is Ron, I think, you know, we don't want to split hairs here. Our job as a work team is to just review this document and make sure that it reflects back generally what the operations should be. We are not the final arbiters of that. The actual council will review these recommendations and make those determinations.
Uh-huh.
So I think what you've put here is logical, and the logic is simply to say that reports, declarations should be submitted to the council members with enough lead time. Now, whether that's 14 days, 10 days, 20 days, that will leave the council to make that determination. But I think the argument here is quite clear, that documents should be given to the councillors with enough lead time to review those documents.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't fit in within whatever that period is, it'll have to fall onto the next calendar agenda because it didn't arrive at the appropriate time. So I think the logic of your thinking is right, but in terms of, it's not for us to determine these things so tightly.
Yeah. Okay.
Excuse me, this is Rob, if I can interject as well on this.
Please, Ron. Rob?
Thanks. I understand your point on that, Ron, in terms of setting the parameters, but I do recommend that if you guys do have thoughts about what that timing should be, you should certainly take the opportunity to make that recommendation. As to Wolf's specific comment about 14 days and 14 days, I see that challenge as this is drafted right now, in that it sort of puts the chair in a difficult situation where they have to receive the information and then immediately turn it back out. Now, I don't know if Glenn is also on the call. My
Yes, Glenn.
My understanding is right now that time frame is 7 days.
I was sending you a jabber about that. At the moment, it is 7 days. It's as long as I've known the council, been 7 days. There has been an exception when it refers to a policy document where a vote has to be taken that has to be sent to the board, and that is usually 14 days in advance. But what we have been doing is if a vote has to be taken that is sent to the board, we've given heaps of time for the council and constituencies to go through the document. Am I clear?
Yes, Glenn just, so does it mean, so the 14 days is just a new date, a period here. It used to be 7 days, I understood.
Well, actually, this is Julie. I didn't make any changes to this. This is the text that's directly from the website, the existing text. I do note that it says 14 in advance for policy issues.
That's right. 14 days
for reports and declarations. So I don't, you know, I think as Rob says, if we're not comfortable with this time period, and I don't know why it's 14 instead of 7, it does say 7 days in advance of the meeting for administrative issues and then 14 for policy, and then the next paragraph has 14. I'm wondering if there's an error here
that we need to correct. Uh-huh.
Well, from the staff point of view, how would you see that? How many days would you present in this regard?
Well, let's see. So we're looking at notice of meetings 5.2, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
So advance notice of meetings posted at least 7 days in advance for administrative issues, 14 days for policy issues. Reports and declarations should be on the agenda no more than 14 days, and then agenda items distributed 14 days before the meeting. Given Wolf Ulrich's question, my question would be, do we want to say reports and declarations 14 days before the council meeting and then distributed to the members 7 days before? Is there a discrepancy here? And I think that was Wolf's question, too.
Yes, that was my question. Correct.
I could live with 14 and 7 days. That makes sense. So reports and declarations submitted to the chair 14 days and submitted to the members 7 days in advance of the meeting. That at least gives the chair time to gather it and turn it around in a reasonable period of time.
If that's the case, how it is written now would remain the same.
No, the second 14 will be changed to 7.
This is Julie. That's what I have reflected in the document I'm marking up at the moment.
So the very last sentence would read, forthcoming agenda items must be distributed to the GNSO council members 7 days before the meeting.
Correct.
Okay, I understand. I think that change makes sense.
Very good. So we can move to 5.3?
For 5.3, yes. So that was more a question of understanding from my side. 5.3, second paragraph. Members representing a majority shall constitute a quorum for the transaction of business. What does he mean, the transaction of business? Is it to put decisions into business, or what does he mean? So.
No. I think this is pretty standard language, Wolf Ulrich, in terms of transaction of business. Means this member, this group, the GNSO Council, is going to gather to do the activities of the GNSO, and that's been has been defined here as transaction of business and acts of majority vote. So it's just a transaction of the daily activities. So I don't think we need to get too close on that wordsmithing. I think that's pretty standard language.
Good. Okay.
Well, if that's okay, then I think that 5.3 looks good. From my point of view, it's good to go with this inclusion.
Yes.
Well, I think we're moving right along. You don't have any discrepancies from me. Are there any other comments with regards to the other sections?
5.4, Chair. I wanted just Wolf Ulrich has made a note here. Task force.
Okay.
Why here? C7.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf, perhaps you could clarify.
I don't know what is the context. In which context task force report is here mentioned? If you move to number 7, then there is. I think there's something.
There's a section there on task force. Yeah.
Section 7 is task force, isn't it? Yes.
Yes.
So what does it mean here?
So perhaps you're saying that it doesn't even belong here. We should be deleting it.
Yes. If that is right, I don't know. I couldn't see any context here.
I would agree with that. This is a section 5.4 number of votes cast. It has nothing to do with task force report. So that should be a deletion of those three words. We agree?
Yes.
This is the way it had read before, so I kept the same order. I do think this has to appear somewhere. And it may be that we just revise where we've placed it. You're absolutely right. 5.4 numbers of votes cast deals with numbers of votes cast, and that is now addressed in the bylaws. It may be that we simply renumber and say, 5.5 task force report, council report to the board, et cetera, and then, renumber as follows.
Yeah, but council report is not task force report, I understand.
Right.
Exactly. That's
well, then what, and like I said, I think this may actually be an error in the original document. I think what it's referring to here is not task force report. You're absolutely right. I think it's what it's referring to is council report to the board. And
well, I think when we submit our documents to the OSC, we're going to have a redline version. So I think what you might do here is just line out task force report and just put in parens, work team feels this was placed in error or is not appropriate in this section.
Right, or we can rename it and show that we've changed task force report because it is actually included further. It's just, Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but Julie, I'm gonna interrupt you. Sorry, because as I read this, I mean the section begins, 5.4 number of votes cast. Then there's two things about the bylaws, and then it goes about a council report, and then an agreement of the council. I don't see that as having a headline in there. I agree with what the chair said. I think we delete task force report and just take it right out of there.
Just take out.
Yeah, because there's going to be under task force is a whole section in the bylaws that will address that. Because this council report to the board has something to do with the votes of supermajority, and the agreement of council is also about the vote. So both are, the following paragraphs are about vote, not about task force. So for that point of view, I would say, whether it's no point putting a headline in council reports to the board for one sentence and then another paragraph that goes back to the original rubric.
Yeah, I see you're right. And I have reflected that here in the section that I'm marking up.
And Julie, this is Rob. We can talk about this offline, but it also may just be a copy and paste issue. You'll recall that on the website, there are old procedures and new procedures, and in the new procedures, the task force report line is actually a link, and it looks like it's a link back to the original DNSO procedures.
I see.
And so once you do that, then you see a whole section on how task forces are to be organized and pulled together. So that's something we should do offline, take a look at, and see if there's another spot, as the members are suggesting, to put that into the procedures, just not in this specific spot necessarily.
I see. We'll talk about that offline because there are some difficulties of what you do in a textual document as opposed to an online document.
Sure. I think we're all saying the same thing.
Right.
Basically.
That's fine. I have reflected that here in my notes, and we'll take care of that.
Okay. Very good.
I don't know if this would be a time that I could. I spent a little bit of time looking at the comparison of bylaws amendments, and in particular the section that one of the footnotes that Wolf Ulrich had asked about, the footnote to paragraph 8A-F. It says is recommended for removal from the bylaws and relocated to the council operating rules and procedures. And then it notes several paragraphs that have been deleted. As near as I can tell, and I will, after this meeting, I'll give a notation to each of these and where they appear, but this text is actually reflected in the version of the procedures that we are currently looking at. So, for instance, one of the paragraphs says, members of the GNSO Council may participate in a meeting of the GNSO Council through use of conference telephone or similar communications. That is in the current procedures that we're reviewing. It's further down in latter sections. Another section, members entitled to cast a majority of the total number of votes of GNSO Council then in office shall constitute a quorum of the transaction of business. And that is reflected in the quorum section. Absentee voting is reflected
Here, members of, you know, when they're absent and so on. And some of this has to do with the PDP process, and that appears elsewhere as well. And then the another section is advance notice of meeting shall be posted on the website. That's actually the section that we just dealt with the 7 days and 14 days. Another is F, talks about meeting minutes. That's reflected. There's another section that there is there. Well, I'll make sure that these are there, but as near as I can tell very quickly while we've been doing this, I think these sections that came out of the bylaws are reflected in the current version of the procedures that we're reviewing at this time.
Okay, I think that answers Wolf's question.
Does that make sense, Wolf Ulrich?
It makes sense, yes, really. So I was only, you know, asking, for example, I was commenting on when it was published first time. Bob knows that, and so for example, especially the absentee voting, and so I understand that we have to then to deal with it, and if we come to an agreement, then we have to include something, or we could include my comments or what else in that paragraph. Is that the way?
Yeah, it is. It is in the procedures, and there is a provision with respect to absentee voting. That is absentee voting that's not related to the policy development process. It is in. It's a little bit further down in the sections that we in this work team will be reviewing. And yes, absolutely, you will have an opportunity, to suggest other language, and as well, if you for those sections that remain in the bylaws, of course you can comment on them as well. And I should mention that when I said earlier, talking about the bylaws amendments being approved by the board on the 27th, they also could be changed if there are public comments that are compelling. So. Please, I didn't mean to suggest that there couldn't be changes that would result from the public comment process that is ongoing at this time.
Julie, yes, as a chair, that's well understood. We made a high-level decision to rely upon them as best we could at a point in time, understanding that there could be changes in the final versions. But in order to advance our work, We chose to make the decision of relying upon them at a certain point in time.
Yeah.
Okay. In looking through the document that Wolf sent, I don't see any additional comments by Wolf. Is that correct?
Well, there was another question. Was saying,
sure.
If you look at 5.5.A procedure, just the page down, the last paragraph on that page, there was all means of meetings of the supporting organizations shall be approved, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm wondering, so we are talking about here council.
Yeah, and there is a distinction here between 5.5 and 5.5A. 5.5A is one we identified last week that is going to likely require some time and effort and discussion by us in total versus 5.5.
Well, Ray, this is Ron.
Yes.
I mean, I've looked through that whole thing. From my point of view, I don't see any issue. I think this is just a cleanup of language. All minutes of the meetings of the GNSO.
Of the GNSO, yes.
And that solves that problem. And any councils thereof, shall be approved, and posted. So I think that's just a language issue that needs, instead of saying supporting organization, just needs to say GNSO.
Yes.
And that solves that problem.
Well, I have no problem with doing this. More the merrier here. So 5.5A, I'm hearing that it's been reviewed, by Ron, by Wolf, and the only note of change you're saying is to update some language, GNSO, for example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that change would be, it's several paragraphs down that says all minutes of meetings of the GNSO and any councils thereof shall be approved promptly by the originating body?
Correct. Correct.
I've made that change.
Excellent.
I'm fine with that. Well, let's add 5.5A here.
Done.
into this category. Okay.
5.6, 5.7,
yes.
From my point of view, are good to go.
I would agree with that.
One small typo.
Yes.
Says it 5.6, the second paragraph begins, at the physical meeting, a GNSO council member may raise hand during a teleconference. An GNSO should be a GNSO council member may speak over the dialogue.
Yeah.
Just a point of grammatical error. So the an GNSO council should be a GNSO council member.
I've made that change.
Thank you.
Okay. So no changes to 5.7?
Good to go.
Okay. From a procedural level, I'll throw out the suggestion that we, as a result of today's call, send over to the OSC our opinion that these sections 4.2, 4.3, 5.1, the ones we've gone over, are in a ready state for their review.
You know, and from my point of view, I don't want to jump ahead.
Yes.
There's some serious conversation people want to have, but I've also taken the time to look at the 5.3, 5.4, 5.5A we just dealt with,
good.
5.8, and 16. And in my view, I think that the language here is fine as well. I don't know if we want to be starting to delve deeper into wordsmithing this again because of our job is to review this to make sure that it makes sense. I'm sure that the GNSO, as a matter of course, will review these things just as I would hope that they would because this is their operating procedures. And then should there be something in there that we've missed or doesn't make sense when you're actually sitting in the counselor's seat, then that would be reviewed at that level.
Mm-hmm. This is Julie. I think we probably want to make sure that we're comfortable with the way that this reads from the point of view that after the OSC approves our recommendations, I mean, the council is essentially going to, you know, they'll take that recommendation. They can obviously read through this prior to approving it, but I think they're really relying on us to make sure that all of this makes sense, you know, if we were, you know, a seated council member. I don't know that, you know, obviously there'll be continued changes as time goes on, you know, changes to procedures and so on, but I think the sense, my understanding is that what we present is something that we think is good to go and that we've looked at it very thoroughly.
Right, right. And there is a balancing act here. And how I've sort of tried to guide this along is a sort of a slice and dice approach here. I want to obviously get deliverables over to the OSC because they need some time to review as well. And we're up against a deadline.
Well, my comments, Ray, if I may, just were exactly what Julie just said. I'm not punting the ball down the field for somebody else to
No,
pick up.
I don't take it that way.
I'm saying I've reviewed these personally, and I hope other members will do as well. But from my point of view, I'm just going on record saying I'm good with these.
Right. Fair enough. I think I want to stick to the original plan. I would like to attribute next week's call to these sections, these additional sections. Give people time to review these sections if they haven't already. I know most of us have looked at them. But nonetheless, and attribute actually a phone call, a teleconference to these other sections.
That's fine. But just a point of notice that we did agree, if I'm not mistaken, on 5.3 and 5.5A.
5.3, correct. 5.5A, correct.
Ray, this is Rob. If I can interject another item here.
Yes, Rob.
Thank you. This is just really a general comment. All of you participate as individuals. Some of you may actually, you know, be going back and chatting with members of your constituencies. But something you might consider doing is just having a side communication or a separate email to your council reps, and whether that's, you know, in your specific constituency, just to say, hey, this is where we are. and maybe put the onus on your individual council reps with just even a copy of this document to say, do you see anything? Would there be any red flags that you want me to catch or something like that? It might be helpful in terms of the recommendations to be able to say that there's been that dialogue as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Rob. In my case, our council rep doubles as the chair of the OSC, so for me it's sort of convenient, but for others it may not be as convenient. That's a good point.
So in that regard then, considering that we've checked some of these things off the list today, and I wonder if Julie might go back and get rid of the green boxes that we've agreed upon and just give us a clean version of that, I'd be happy to circulate to my three reps at the BC.
Yes, Ron, this is Julie. You were reading my mind. I will, at the close of this meeting, do a version that really just shows, the tracking of the changes from the original and to, those that we have instituted here, and take out the comments. I will keep a version that has the comments for our reference, but I think we'll do a as clean as possible document. And I think I can take out all that yellow highlighting as well. That's really just for our reference.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, speaking, so one question. Do we also have to deal with, for example, with the election procedures for the board seats from the GNSO Council, seat number 13 and 14? Because, I refer to the bylaw amendments right now, so it is told there, it is written there, election procedures are defined in the GNSO operating procedures. So is our group going to do that?
The elections, this is Julie, the elections for board seats 13 and 14 are dealt with specifically in the bylaws, and let me just...
Yes, in the bylaws. That is the same number six, in that list, which I referred to. So, and there's also there's a phrase which says, okay, election procedures are defined in the GNSO operating procedures. So, full stop.
That's an excellent point, Wolf York. It seems as if we've potentially set up a non-ending loop. Refer to the operating procedures, refer to the bylaws, back and forth. And you've noted an item that may need to be fixed in that bylaw amendments package, because to my recollection, what the board has approved is that each party house conducts that work. And if you guys as a work team are working on the GNSO Council operating rules and procedures, then the question would be whether these procedures also incorporate the procedures of the voting houses. And I don't think the community has really engaged in any discussion about how those houses would conduct their business for purposes of either selecting the board seats 13 and 14 or even selecting their individual vice chairs, which is also a duty that they will have.
Okay. So you don't, you mean they don't expect from us any input to that?
Yeah, as I read it, I wouldn't expect it unless you all would recommend that. I think that that's something that the party houses would deal with. It's an excellent point that I don't think any of us have really focused on to date, and I will raise that in the context of the council or restructure drafting team discussions. My original interpretation would be that it would be outside your guys' jurisdiction, because these are GNSO council operating procedures, not the procedures of the voting houses. But those don't really have an infrastructure yet.
Yeah, they don't have a rules of procedure yet.
No.
Yeah, each house doesn't have a rules of procedure yet. It is an excellent point.
But I would agree with you, Rob. This is Ron. I would agree that that's, it belongs in the bylaws and that election issue. It doesn't belong in the operating procedures.
Right. Well, this is Julie. It is in the bylaws, but the phrase that is confusing, and I see it now, and Wolf Ulrich, thank you for raising it, is that the bylaws specifically say election procedures
right.
are defined in the GNSO operating procedures.
Right.
But that's not GNSO council operating procedures. It's more the procedures that each of the houses will have for conducting this process. So it might be that there's a change in the way that the bylaws, you know, it might be that this is needs to be changed in the bylaws, but it's not something that we have to deal with here.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, if I paraphrase that wrong.
Okay.
Okay, so we have some time here remaining on our call. I think we have our next steps. We're going to take the sections that we feel as a work team are completed.
Actually, Ray, can I just clarify as far as what we've completed here?
Yes, please. That's a good idea.
But I know we were in Section 5, and did we then say that all of the rest of the sections in Section 5, that is seating, proxies, eligibility, notification in advance, acceptance, revocation, council member incommunicado, all of those absences, are those all accepted?
Well, yeah. let me go through a rundown.
Yeah, here I also have them, so go ahead, Ray.
All right, well, first, let's just double back to 3.5 and 3.6, quorum and votes. I assume, I'm making the assumption that we feel those are completed.
Yes.
Okay. From there, here's what my notes say. 4.2 is completed. 4.3, 5.1. 5.2, 5.3, 5.5.
5.4, I'm sorry, Ray.
5.4, hold on.
This was
Thank you. 5.4, 5.5, 5.5A, 5.6, and 5.7. That leaves, per my notes, what is open. 4.1, 5.3, 5.4, and 5.8.
No, 5.3 and 5.4 we did today.
I'm sorry.
Got them double counted.
Taking those off, I double count them, correct. So what is left open, let me rephrase, 4.1 and 5.8.
And 16 was also not spoken about today.
16, we have made a higher level threshold decision for now. Two things. One, 16 is not urgent to seat the council. That's one high level. And by the way, these are for discussion. And two, 16 falls under the venue of the PDP work team. We are relying on them.
16 is GNSO council email.
Oh, never mind.
Right.
Wrong section.
And also, I think that this is where we need to consider a little bit whether or not we want, and I think this is part of the reason we saved it as one that we needed more discussion on.
Yes, I see.
Because we want to talk about whether or not we want to add more on absentee engagement, especially for voting purposes.
Yeah.
And
yes, you're right. I was incorrect
that,
on 16.
Wolf Ulrich has raised as to what we might want to build in here as far as absentee voting and having some additional text there. And in fact, in anticipation of spending a little more time on this, I would be happy to make some suggested additions and send them out to the team as far as absentee voting and get some comments before next week's meeting, if that's acceptable.
Yeah, just for clarity, for anybody that might be listening to the teleconference later, the open items are 4.1, 5.8, and 16. Okay. And now, Julie, you're recommending a way forward on 16? Some suggested
items? Yeah, I was just going to recommend that we might want to consider some additional language with respect to absentee voting, and I was going to insert some language in there for everyone to review. I'd get that in today, and then we could have that in advance of next week's discussion.
Uh-huh.
So is there anything in 16 now that speaks to absentee voting, or are you adding a new section?
I'm not adding a new section, but it does talk about email votes with respect to when people are absent from meetings. But it's not there's not a lot in here.
Julie, well, we referred before to the to the form or to the still
the paragraph in the, about absentee voting is still being in the bylaws, but which is recommended to be relocated by the procedures. So why shouldn't we just move or relocate this paragraph, doing some additions after discussion, and that's it?
That's actually exactly what I was planning on doing.
Let me ask the team this. How do we feel that Section 16 is a teleconference in and of itself? 16.1 through 16.7?
Well, this is Ron. From my point, as I said, I'm good to go with what's here right now. So I don't know how much more work has to be done on this, but from my point of view, other than what Julie just mentioned, I don't see this being so long, but it's your call.
Oh, and this is Julie. I'm reading the text that's currently recommended for taking out of the bylaws with respect to absentee voting. It does this language that was in the bylaws and is being taken out refers to what happens when members are absent at the time of the initiation of a PDP, and then it talks about balloting on that. One point I would make is that this is actually going to fall into the policy process development section, which is not a section that this work team is addressing. It's a section that will, right now, the policy development process is dealt with in Annex A of the bylaws, and then there are the the teams that are addressing changes to that process. But I think it might be useful for this work team to consider whether or not we still want to include this language of what happens, this paragraph on absentee voting when a PDP is initiated. And I don't actually have an answer to that, whether or not we need to put it into Section 16, because it does deal with email voting.
Well, it's worth speaking. Julie, I'm not fully in line with you.
Mm-hmm.
Regarding that paragraph, regarding the existing paragraph regarding absentee voting.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that paragraph, that's the only one in the bylaws which refers to absentee voting at all. And it says, and that was the question for the last, one of the last votings on the council, it outlines the cases in which absentee voting is permitted. And there are only two cases at the time being. The one is either whether to initiate a PDP, or the other is to fill a position open for election. Those both cases may cause an absentee voting, or may permit an absentee voting, and that is under discussion right now. So I understand it's not a paragraph which should be submitted only to the PDP working team, rather than should be dealt with by us.
Chair, I'm sorry I had to interrupt. It's Ron. I have a hard stop that I have to get off and make an appointment.
Right.
So may I just interrupt for 1 second, just to suggest that not to stop this dialogue, but to ask one of the things I was going to add when you added any other business, I was going to make a suggestion that we send a reminder out to the constituencies each week, and maybe we can have another one sent out now saying we've sent out this document to you about a week or 10 days ago or whatever, and we want to make sure we get as much feedback. Could you please remind your members?
Sure.
And if we do that every week for the next couple of weeks, perhaps we'll get more than half a dozen responses that we've totaled so far.
Sure.
Okay. I have to excuse myself, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, and I apologize for having to run, but I'll catch up with you next week.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Thanks, Ron. Wolf Ulrich, I guess my question is, if you have some suggestions of the language...
Yes.
That for us to include and where it should be included, whether it's Section 16 or elsewhere.
Yes.
I mean, I think I know what you're referring to, but I want to make sure I get it right. If you had something to suggest,
I do. Yes. And I could provide you that immediately after that meeting, after our conference, yeah, so that you could include it maybe as a suggestion, and then we could discuss it next time. No?
I think for myself, this is Julie, that would be extremely helpful because I do want to make sure I understand your suggestions. I think I know, but it would be helpful if I had that.
Okay, I do so.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's just go over a summary of our plan of action on the sections that we feel are completed. Julie is going to prepare a clean document and disperse it to the work team.
And I'm going to do a clean document of just the sections, Ray, this is Julie, of just the sections that we have reviewed and approved with our changes that then can be sent around to the constituencies. Is that correct?
Well, let's think about that. Was Rob's suggestion for us to send, are we looking to send formally to the constituencies? Is that the idea?
No, I think the idea was that each of us would engage those of us, you know, who wish to could then engage, not the I'm sorry, you're right, and I shouldn't have said constituencies. I should have said our constituency council representatives.
Right, okay.
Right, just to our constituency council representatives so they can have a heads up on the sections that we feel are good to go. And I was just going to do a document with just those sections because I thought it might be confusing if we included all sections. You know, since some of them we've dealt with and some we don't have to deal with.
Yeah, I would like to send a document to the OSC chair that he could disperse to the other OSC members as well.
And then if those of us who, you know, would like to send to, other constituent members who might want to send to their constituency representative on the council could do that as well.
Do we think that's a good suggestion? I guess what I'm questioning to myself is, should we have the OSC people review it and then they send it off to the council members if they would like, or do we want to send it off to the council members ourselves? It's half one, half dozen the other to me.
Well, this is Rob. I had only suggested it because Ron had made the point that he thought that further review would take place by the council members, and my thought was the earlier they see those documents, particularly knowing some of the personalities and their attention to detail, the earlier they get it, the earlier they have an opportunity for input, I think the smoother the process will work. And also just as a check from the part of various members of this work team. I just thought it was merely a suggestion on my part that I thought might provide some extra added value. I think that's entirely up to the individual members of this work team whether they do end up conducting that outreach, but the chair and other members can certainly recommend that it take place.
Uh-huh.
Personally, I'm in favor of it. I'm okay with that. If we as individuals want to reach out to our council chairs, I always favor that type of communication. So, I said, in my case, it's convenient because our council rep happens to be the chair of the OSC for the registry constituency.
Yeah.
Well, this is Julie. I'll go ahead and I will I'll do a document that just has the sections that we have gone over and made changes to and are at this point believe that they're ready to go. And then if those of the work team members who would like to engage their GNSO council reps, we could, people could do that if they would like. I think Rob makes a very good point.
Okay, so for next week's call, are we looking to then focus in on 4.1, 5.8, and 16? Is this correct?
Yes.
Is there a priority to these? I guess I'm throwing this one more at Rob and Julie in terms of seating the council. Is there any one of these three that you see we should look at before the other?
This is Julie. I would suggest 4.1, which has the election of the GNSO council chair, which we know has to happen in Seoul.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And also the provisions for the vice chair as well. Bob, would you agree?
Yeah, I think just actions around that chair position are important. You know, Glenn and I have been jabbering, actually, while you all have been talking about 4.2, which also has an impact on the chair. And there may be some renumbering that needs to take place in that section. But in terms of the substance, yeah, I believe it's that election and just sort of the chair's role. The vice chair issue, of course, as again, that's an election that's dubbed to take place in the houses. And so that may not be something that this team wants to take a crack at, or you could make recommendations in that regard as well.
Okay. Well, I think we have our plan of action. Is everybody comfortable?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to call to adjourn the call, and I can stop the recording, and we'll pick it up next week. And again, I want to pick up Rob's suggestion as well, although I'm not always the best at it myself, which is whatever we can do by email in between now and next Wednesday.
Yes. And which will be which time will be next week?
Now, next week is the normal time, 1600 UTC.
Okay, good.
And I'll point out, too, Wolf, that your upfront, you know, by email really helped along in today's meeting. So if we do this stuff, it does help during the teleconferences.
Okay.
So thank you.
Good, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.